This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov. I picked up something which is completely off the track, but which I wanted to share with listeners because it sounded like something quite astonishing. And this is to do with some sort of a non-invasive medical treatment that has been developed in Israel to target people who are addicted to opioids in particular or have addictions. And this is the first of its kind experiment that was performed at the Rambam Hospital in Haifa, where this treatment helped a man in his 40s to become detached from his addiction to opioids with treatments of about 20 minutes. It's a kind of sound wave treatment that targets certain areas of the brain, and in so doing, it somehow managed to get the man to kick this habit that he has, this addiction that he had to opioids. Apparently, at one stage, he was taking 130 tablets a day. That is the extent of his addiction. He had suffered an accident where he went through a lot of pain. He was given these tablets to treat the pain. Apparently, his pain was then relieved, and he didn't really suffer from the pain any longer, but he was still addicted to the substance, to the opioid. And this special kind of electrical treatment that targeted a particular area of his brain somehow managed to... he returned a week later and said that his addiction to the opioids was 0 out of 10. He had zero addiction. It went from like everything to practically nothing within the space of a very, very short time. Now, I think that this is an incredible breakthrough because of the number of people who are addicted is clearly high, and we've heard a lot about it and the extent to which companies are taking advantage of these addictions. But it also strikes me that it could be like a little dangerous, like, you know, am I going to go there to break my addiction to chopped herring and or to crisps or to, I don't know what, certain foodstuffs, or to try and drink a little less whiskey over the weekend or something. I don't know how far this can really go in terms of having an impact on our brains and potentially controlling or influencing the way that we behave. But certainly when it comes to addictions to negative substances, it seems to be incredible.
It's really amazing. I actually saw that and I thought, this is unbelievable. If this could work, it really could just change really literally millions of lives. Let's talk about the conflicting statements from all of the parties, which is just making this so hard to understand. Of course, I'm referring to the Iran-US talks and also the talks between Lebanon and Israel. Very hard to follow what is actually happening here.
Well, I think that, you know, what's clear to me in terms of what I think we do know is that the U.S. is clearly using, and by U.S. and Iran, are using the talks between Israel and Lebanon to somehow engineer things between themselves. So those who think that the two sets of talks are divorced from each other, I think, are not really seeing the full picture, because there is clearly a link between those two sets of so-called separate talks that are going on. It's true that both Iran and the US are issuing statements which just seem in some cases to be completely crazy and mostly just seem to be contradictory. But what is clear about all of these statements is that there really are two main issues on the agenda right now, or maybe three. The one main issue is the nuclear program, where Iran is saying we're not going to have the International Atomic Energy Agency policing us, and the US has said Iran has already agreed to it, and obviously it's going to happen. But all of those conflicting comments mean that to both parties, this nuclear issue is clearly central. There is a certain importance that's being attached to it because their statements really are around a lot of that. And clearly they understand that by making public statements, even if many of them are misleading or incorrect, but that is an issue that is central to this discussion. The other issue, which also is the subject of many conflicting statements, is the Straits of Hormuz and the extent to which they are open or are not open, and the extent to which Iran will be making charges for ships that wish to sail through the Straits or will not make charges. And the latest is that Oman has apparently opened some sort of a way to get through the Straits of Hormuz in order to avoid the Iranian attempts to blockade the Straits. And of course, we shouldn't forget that there are also all kinds of sea mines that are floating in the water and that could potentially do damage to ships. So the Straits of Hormuz is clearly a central issue. It's the lever that Iran has to extract whatever it wants out of the US and out of the world in general, because by closing the Straits or charging exorbitant fees, they know that that is certainly going to have an impact. The US knows that having freedom of movement through the Straits of Hormuz has a significant impact on the oil price, and they are obviously keen to ensure from an American economic perspective that that's taken care of. So those really seem to be the two main issues. And linked to all of that, of course, is Hamas and Hezbollah in Lebanon and in Gaza, where the Iranians are saying that we won't agree to anything unless there is ceasefire in Lebanon. And so they are desperately trying somehow to preserve whatever is left of Hezbollah, to try to preserve whatever forces and ammunition and infrastructure that they have in Lebanon. Prime Minister Netanyahu has made a number of different statements reiterating that Israel is not a party to the agreement between the US and Iran, and therefore Israel has no obligations to that agreement. And then he went on to try to explain and to reinforce the facts that even though the US has said in their talks with Iran that it will somehow control Israel's behavior and will make Israel agree to a ceasefire, Prime Minister Netanyahu went out on a limb yesterday to explain to Israeli citizens to the extent to which he really did not abide by the demands of the U.S. administration, the times when attacks were carried out in spite of the fact that the Americans were either anti the idea, times when it was presented that Israel had to request permission to carry out certain operations, and he claims that there was no permission that was sought. The Americans were simply notified. For example, the war against Iran, he used as an example, where he said, we didn't ask permission. We simply notified the Americans that we were doing it. And fortunately, in the end, they also joined in to assist us. But the point that he was making was that we are not beholden to the Americans, and he will not be asking permission, and he will also not be forced to do things which he believes is contradictory to the preservation of Israel's security and safety. So he keeps using the example of Lebanon, where he says the IDF continues to operate and to have freedom of movement without any restrictions by the Americans, and that the IDF is not being forced to only respond to immediate threats, but is also free to respond to threats which are considered to be a certain distance away and might transpire in the future. So lots and lots of discussion and contradiction, but these contradictions ironically do really reinforce what is important in all of these talks, because those are really the items that are the subject of all of these conflicting comments and contradictory statements. So, you know, we will just continue to see how all of this goes. I certainly I'm not all that optimistic that some sort of a good agreement will be entered into in the end, will be concluded in the end. Exactly what will happen with Iran's nuclear program, I think, is still very much up for discussion. I don't think that that discussion is clearly going to result in a shutdown of the Iranian nuclear program, and maybe not. Maybe it will be agreed, but they won't do it. So I'm very, very skeptical and somewhat cynical about where all of this is really going.
Yeah, it's so hard to know, because there's so many factors here that we just simply can't put together, which I find is so interesting, because no matter who I speak to, no matter which expert I speak to, nobody's getting it. Nobody's quite understanding what is going on.
I think what's really frustrating for everybody, the general public out there, is the amount of information that's being loaded on us. All of these social media statements which come out, dozens of them every day, it's contradictory, and very, very, the language that's used is just so extreme and so explosive. You know, this is a very strange world of international diplomacy. Certainly once upon a time when everything was done behind the scenes and everything was sewn down and buttoned down and agreed, and only then was it made public. Well, those days are gone. I mean, a lot of the public discourse is now conducted through social media, and the public doesn't really want to hear all of that stuff. And we certainly don't want to hear all the extreme language and the threats and the bad language and everything else that comes out with it. It's just, it doesn't contribute in any
way to
this particular situation.
The new UN report accused Israel of deliberately killing children in Gaza. Anything new in this accusation?
Well, no, nothing new, Howard. But the problem is that all the time that new reports are being published, which persist in putting forward a certain narrative, just makes it more and more damaging. And this report, under the auspices, it was released by the UN independent, let's note that word, independent International Commission of Inquiry. Well, there's nothing independent about this, because the facts that they present are just simply wrong. I mean, they claim that Israel deliberately targeted and killed Palestinian children as a part of a strategy to destroy the biological continuity of the Palestinians in Gaza. I mean, just think about that statement that is made. And then you look at the numbers to support it. So they claim that at least 20,000 children were killed and another 44,000 children were injured over the last 3 years. And of course, their definition of children includes everybody up to the age of 18. And we know that many 16 and 17-year-olds were actually militants, were actually terrorists, people who were involved in the battle against IDF soldiers. And therefore, I don't know that it is a valid fact to include those who were armed and operating as part of a military, an official military unit, whether we are justified in including them under the definition of children. I mean, clearly they're under 18 years old, but they're also fighting in a war, and people really do get killed in wars when they pick up arms and they attempt to murder people. So there are the irony of all of the situation is that when the numbers have been counted up, and when we look at the number of people who were killed, and when we look at the number of militants who were killed as a proportion of the overall total, then it is it has been proved that something around 40% of those people who were killed in Gaza were actually Hamas terrorists and operatives who had picked up arms and were fighting in an official war. Now, that number is incredible as far as any conflict is concerned. And ironically, I was just listening to Mark Rutte, who's the head of NATO, making a comment about the fact that the Ukrainians are killing 30 to 35,000 Russians every month, every month at the moment. And then he says, those numbers are incredible. That's exactly what he said. Those numbers are incredible. But when Israel tries to limit as far as possible the number of civilian casualties, then we come up against reports like the so-called Independent Commission of Inquiry, which claims that Israel has purposefully tried to target children in order to destroy the biological continuity of the Palestinians Gaza. Now, I know that we are up against a battle here to try to convince people, because those people who believe it will believe it. And those people who don't believe it, well, I don't have to convince you that this is obviously rubbish. But I think it's important when public statements like this are made. And it seems that the more you tell a lie, the more people believe it. I think it's important to come out and make a statement saying, this is inaccurate. There is no attempt to destroy any biological continuity of Palestinians, no attempt to target children. And when you think about the fact that Hamas used civilians and children as human shields in order to protect their own operatives, the fact that there are so few civilians and so few children who were killed in this war is really the main success, rather than this accusation that we have to put up with.
Absolutely right, and that's where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, wishing you a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom, and of course we'll chat to you on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.